No, it always feels on the second Sunday of September like it's a start of a new year. That's how it's certainly how it feels for me. And I know we're still nearly 4 months away from the New Year's Eve countdown. But after a couple of months of no school, after people taking some time away for summer vacation, after things being quiet around the church for the summer months, when we get back to this second Sunday of September, to me it feels like there's a kind of an increased sense of energy, new sense of excitement. And I think there's even more of such a feeling this year than in the past, don't you think? I mean, for the first Sunday after Labor Day for the past 2 years, nothing has felt in any way like normal. Nothing has felt the way we remembered it. This time last year at Holy Trinity, we still had everything via our live stream. Other than those who were involved directly in the service, there was nobody in this place. But today we have Welcome Back Sunday. Welcome back not only after some time away during the summer months, but welcome back to something that feels as though it's been missing for the past 2.5 years. It feels good to see people in this place. Now, I have to say that there have been times when its emptiness felt, it was disturbing. So it's good to see you here today. It's also good to know that for those of you who aren't able to be with us in person, that you're still able to connect via our live stream. After all this time, it feels like we're at the start of something new. While it may not be a new year chronologically, it feels like we're about to begin something once again. Elijah, can you click onto the next slide? My clicker seems to have died on me. Thank you. So we're about to start something new, it certainly feels like. As we gather today, I want us to spend some time with our scripture reading, our gospel passage. I believe God has some things to be saying to us through that passage, and particularly in regards to what things might be like for us and this church this coming year. And I'd like to title the sermon today, The Next Step to Which God is Calling Us. If we look back at our passage from Luke's Jesus story this morning, we recall that it started in this way. Now the tax collectors and sinners were gathering around to hear Jesus. And then as the story continued to unfold, we heard Jesus tell a parable about a shepherd who had one sheep go missing, and a woman who had a coin. It was lost, and she needed to find it. And so for so many people today, today's passage is one that kind of gives them some kind of warm fuzzies as they think about that lost sheep being found by the shepherd. It's a reminder to them of God's incredible love, God's incredible grace, and it's almost like a beacon that shines in the darkness. But I have to say, though, as I was growing up, that story of the shepherd searching for his lost sheep was one of my favorite Bible stories, because it reminded me of the lengths to which God would seek out those who had wandered. It comforted me to think that if I ever wandered, then the shepherd would be willing to go out and search for me, even when there were still 99 others who were okay. God would come looking for me. It was a passage I wanted to hear. It reminded me that God was on my side. The story of the lost coin was also reassuring. Now, I didn't find that I could relate as well to the lost coin. I mean, a lost coin doesn't wander away. It gets lost, doesn't it? It's not nothing to blame for that coin. But I still found it reassuring to know as I looked at the woman and the extent to which she would not give up, even when it was hard to find the coin, reminded me of just God not giving up, that God would keep on searching for all that was necessary. The coin to her was that important. The woman, the shepherd, they weren't willing ever to draw a line and say, okay, I'm not going to go looking. The woman and the shepherd kept on searching. As the shepherd went searching for the sheep, as the woman goes searching for the coin, so does that remind me that the individual is at the heart of God, that I'm at the heart of God. God's love for me is so great that he will never give up. And that's an important message for each and every one of us, isn't it? That we are infinitely valued by God. That God is longing that we be found in him. But is that message all what's being said here? Is this just an individualized message about how you are loved by God? If it was, would we even need to be gathering today? I mean, you could just hear the message on your own and just simply go on with your day. I think the message of this passage is more than merely an individualized one. It's not just about the joy of being found. I think the message speaks to us about community. And I believe some of what it says is rather disturbing. I've told you, many of you before, how often when I read a passage, I like to try to put myself into the passage. I try to identify as characters in the story, to try to experience what they might have experienced in the story. And so I try to put myself into it. It's comforting to put yourself in the place of the lost sheep, the one that the shepherd goes looking for. But what about if you put yourself in the place of the 99? Does the passage then feel all that comforting? Remember how the parable went. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? The sheep, the 99, are left in the open country. Shepherd didn't look for another shepherd to look after the sheep before he went searching for the one. The shepherd didn't take the sheep back home and put them in the barn, close the door, lock it, and then go searching for the lost sheep. No, the shepherd left the 99 out in the open country and then went searching for the one. How would you feel if you were one of those sheep that had stayed where you were meant to stay, close to the shepherd, who did as the shepherd desired? How would you feel about the one that went missing? Or how would you feel about the shepherd leaving you behind so the shepherd could search for the one? If there's any part of you that's feeling right now like, well, that doesn't really seem fair, I don't blame you, because it doesn't. Why should the well-being of the 99 be put in jeopardy because of the carelessness of the one? Why should the 99 be neglected because one sheep has gone their own way? There are times when we feel as though People should face consequences. When they make bad decisions, they should face the consequences of those bad decisions. And that's a little bit, I think, how it might feel to be among those 99. I mean, they remained faithful. They stuck around. They hadn't wandered. Doesn't really seem fair that when there's one wayward sheep, and that sheep goes missing, that the shepherd should leave the rest behind in order to search for the one. Now, sure, if we are that lost sheep, then it's a different matter. But when we're among the 99, it doesn't really feel all that comforting. Jesus, what about us? Couldn't you just focus on us for a change? You know, there are many churches for whom the focus is on the faithful. Many churches for whom their attention is directed within. And let me make it really clear, it is important for there to be a focus on the faithful community. I think one of the things that I think that we're called to, one of the steps that we're being as a church being called to for this coming year will be to put some intentional focus back on community. Because we've been separated for far too long. We've wandered away a bit. We've been scattered. We've been away from one another. And we need to be focusing on building community, building the relationships between one another. That's going to be of vital importance. And we're going to be needing to look for ways in which we can do that. I think it's going to be crucial for us to recognize that while the pandemic forced us to take a step back from one another, in order to keep one another healthy, that can't be the default way of being for us. Sure, if virus cases start to get crazy once again, we may need to take some necessary precautions. But in the absence of that, we need to be doing what we can to re-engage in community. It's going to be important for us to take opportunities, any opportunities we can to gather together in community, to connect with one another, to enter back into one another's lives. Throughout the scriptures, we see the importance of community. We see community in the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We see a community of followers that gathered around Jesus and followed Jesus wherever he went. Being a disciple of Jesus isn't a solo endeavor. We aren't in this alone. As we take steps this year, it's going to be important for us to take steps in community. And today we're going to be taking a step towards that in our barbecue lunch after the service. It's my hope for those of you who are going to be staying for that you won't just be sitting huddled in your own family groupings. I'm hoping that there can be some mixing and mingling. People can be reconnecting with one another. We need to be looking for ways in which we can build up community throughout the year, taking advantage of those times when we can gather together. Because we need to remember there's value in the 99. And yet, having said that, I think it's going to be important for us to emphasize from our story today that the shepherd still walked away from the 99. The shepherd still walked away from community. And what that says to me is that who we are as a current community is not what's most important to Jesus. If you're one who's never wandered away, this passage can feel as though there's nothing there for you. Remember in my teens, hearing stories about people coming to faith. And some of these people, they had led crazy lives beforehand. They had wandered away dramatically. And then something happened and they came to know Jesus. And while those stories inspired me as I heard about the conversions of those individuals, sometimes it kind of left me, well, the two kind of feelings. One feeling was, I sure wish I had a story as dramatic as that. And that was one of my feelings. But also I felt as though I didn't connect because I wasn't somebody who'd wandered away ever. As I look back on my life, I don't think there's been a whole month in my life where I have not been to church at least once in that month. And most months in my life, I've been 4 or 5 times in that month. I'm not one who's wandered. And yet when hearing the story, while I can be thankful that the shepherd goes searching for the lost, if the sheep walks away, that tells me that the shepherd has left me. And it makes me wonder, like, what does that say about the shepherd's concern for me? One of those 99 that stayed behind. If it's just that the shepherd trusts that I'm going to stick around, that I'm still going to be there when the shepherd returns, well, it might be nice for the shepherd to have such trust. But if you look at the full story, we don't hear of the shepherd returning to the open country where those sheep were. No, the way the story goes, once the lost sheep has been found, it says that the shepherd then goes home with the lost sheep and has a party with the friends and neighbors around. Didn't go back into the open country for the other sheep. Just went home with that lone sheep to celebrate with friends and neighbors. So if I'm among the 99, what does that say about me? And what Jesus thinks about me? Sure, it can be good to put some time and effort into community. But if God isn't with us in community, then we're nothing different than just a self-serving community. I don't believe that's what Jesus is calling us to. So what was Jesus saying when he shared the parable? I think the clue for us comes from verse 2 of our passage today. While verse 1 talked about tax collectors and sinners gathering around Jesus, verse 2 speaks of others being there. Listen to what it says. Now the tax collectors and sinners were gathering around Jesus, around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Over the past few weeks, we have been hearing about how many of the religious leaders of the day, they challenged what Jesus was saying and what Jesus was doing. And in this story, we hear the very same thing. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they muttered. They were disgruntled. Why? Because Jesus was spending time with sinners. And why did that trouble them? Well, because as far as they were concerned, sinners were basically the whole problem. See, back in Jesus' day, many of the people believed that the reason there was Roman occupation of Israel was because of the sin that was among the people. The sin that was among God's people, that meant God needed to punish them, so the Romans were sent to occupy the territory. So they felt as though, as long as we can get rid of the sinners, then we're going to be getting rid of the Roman rule as well, because God will be pleased with us. They saw the sinners as being the problem. So here they see Jesus hanging around the sinners. And that disturbed them, because they wanted to keep those sinners as far away from them as they could. To them, that was the hope for Israel. So they didn't like the story that Jesus told. They wouldn't have liked the story about the shepherd going out to look for the one. But you know, when Jesus shared the story, his purpose wasn't to convey something to the tax collectors and the sinners. He wasn't really focusing on that lost sheep and that lost coin. He was trying to get something across to the other people. Jesus' focus was not on the one that needed to be found. Jesus' focus was on those that had been left behind. We need to remember who this story is being told to, who the parable is being told to. Jesus was speaking to the religious leaders of the day. He wanted them to know that the value of the one. So as we look at the story and we see that that Jesus was sharing the story about the sheep that went astray, the coin that was lost, the 99 that were left behind, the 9 coins that were left behind. We recognize that there is something really important here. Those 99, they really weren't being left to fend for themselves. What they really should have been doing is they should have been following the shepherd. You know, I mean, if you look at sheep, if sheep really know a shepherd, if they really long to be in the presence of a shepherd, if a shepherd walks away somewhere, the sheep will automatically follow. So there shouldn't have been 99 that were left behind, because the 99, they should have been following the shepherd, going out searching for the lost sheep. Why didn't the 99 follow? They couldn't be bothered. They had everything they needed. They had all the grass in front of them. They were seeing to their own needs. They didn't care about the one. We're fine, thank you very much. I think the religious people of the day, Jesus was really speaking to them. Really saying to them, why aren't you following after the one that's lost? Why aren't you among those that are searching for those who are lost? Why are you so content in who you are and you don't care about others who have wandered? Jesus didn't want a divided flock. Didn't want to be leaving 99 behind, but his heart was so focused on making sure that the whole flock was together, he'd be willing to walk away. Those 99 sheep, they should have followed. You know, as I think about this year and the life of this church, as I think about the next step to which we're called, yes, I believe we are called to community. We're called to look for ways in which we can join together to become stronger. But we are also called to go where Jesus goes. And Jesus goes looking for others. We cannot become complacent. We cannot merely focus on ourselves. We're not all that we can and should be. The mission isn't completed until all the lost are found. The moment we start turning our attention inwards is the moment the shepherd will start walking away. Not because the shepherd doesn't want to be with us, but because we've become so content in ourselves. As far as Jesus was concerned, the biggest problem wasn't the sinners who'd wandered. Far more serious to him was the fact that the community had stopped caring for them, stopped loving them, stopped seeking them out. And that put the community at odds with Jesus. whose mission it was to seek out the lost? What do I believe that God is calling us to this year? As a community, we are being called to stay close to Jesus, to watch where Jesus goes, and to follow closely behind. So how will that be lived out in your life this year? How will that be lived out in the life of our church? As you can see, we don't have stained glass windows in our building here. That's very deliberate. It's so we can still see out. We can see the community out there. There can be a focus on people that we need to be reaching who are outside these walls right now. Our focus is to be on those who are lost. Those who we know are being held tightly in the hands of Jesus. As we begin this year, may we take the next step to which Jesus is calling us. May we ever seek to be in the presence of Jesus, going where he goes, seeking those whom he seeks. That as a people, that as a church, we might come to look more and more like Jesus ourselves. We might faithfully reflect his mission. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that your love knows no boundaries. We thank you that you aren't just content in those who are by your side, but your heart goes out to the lost and the wandering. Lord, we want to confess that sometimes we get just content. We just get content in ourselves, and we don't always keep our eyes focused on you. And we just pray that you will help us to look up, to look out, to see where you are and to take steps and follow you. Help us as a church to reach out to those who are wandering. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.